Welcome to the Eric in the Morning Podcast on 101.9 The Mix Chicago. All right, take it away, Eric.
Stuffing versus dressing. The kind of question that drives a wedge between sisters. That's what Hannah said.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. So funny. Yeah, we're 16 days out. They're not speaking. It could be a very dark Thanksgiving holiday, unless we can get an answer to this. Stuffing versus dressing, because there is a difference. 312-233-1019, Jane.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. The difference?
Is stuffing stuffed in the bird?
That is exactly right.
Oh, my God.
Under most circumstances...
What? It's That's a trick question.
No, it's not. It's the exact same ingredients to some degree. Everybody does it a little differently. But if it's cooked in the bird, it's stuffing and tastes different. Or if it's cooked outside the bird, then it's dressing.
So I get it, because if it's in the bird, it's stuffed.
Stuffing. Thank you, Melissa.
And if it's outside, it's dressing the outside of the plate and the bird. I get that, but it's okay.
Well, it's different.
It tastes completely different.
Is it okay? So it absorbs all the turkey juices, so that's why. But it's still considered different and not
the
same.
Well, everybody makes it differently.
Yeah,
the ingredients
can
be
all
altered, but how it's cooked ultimately affects how it tastes and how it looks and how it's added.
Yeah,
to
how
the
it's
meal.
Presented. Well, because dressing is like crunchy. You know, it's not soggy.
Right. Do you prefer stuffing or dressing, Jane?
I actually prefer dressing.
Yeah. I do as well. Yeah. I do as well. Yeah.
Can I tell you guys something really funny?
I would love that.
Okay. I'm from Wisconsin.
I'm sorry.
I live in Gurnee.
I see.
I can probably say that. But,
gotcha.
The big thing to eat there is turkey and dressing sandwiches.
Okay. In Wisconsin or Gurnee?
In Wisconsin.
Gotcha.
Okay.
You cube turkey and mix it with dressing. Mm-hmm. And then put it between a bun.
Oh, that sounds really good, though. Who wouldn't want that?
You put a little cranberry, like canned cranberry, on that?
Oh, no, sorry.
No?
The way it's served is only like that.
Can you have a little gravy?
You melt cheese over it because it's Wisconsin? Do you do that? Some melted cheese in there?
It sounds delicious, but usually it's just plain, but...
Right.
It is really good.
So God bless the cheddar steak.
And try it this year and let us know on the radio.
All right, we'll do
Deal.
That. Thank you, Jane. And Denise, so let me grab Denise. She's been very patient. Denise, do you agree with everything you've just heard?
I do agree with everything I just heard, but I prefer the stuffing from the inside of the turkey.
You like it fresh out of the bird. You like it a little with a little turkey flavor and a little soggy.
Correct, because... The outside dressing tends to dry out.
And you make a good point. Yeah. That is true. Yes, although, does it make me a bad person that I really don't like either?
No, not at all.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that don't like turkey dressing or stuffing or anything else in that matter.
No,
you're fine.
Right.
It's delicious no matter how you eat it. And that sandwich sounded good. I may have to try that.
I know. Makes me want to bring in my Wisconsin friends and go, let's rip this thing up.
Cranberry sauce,
because
I like the cranberry sauce.
Yeah, me too. Yes, Melissa.
Sorry. When it comes to the dressing,
you're very angst-ridden by this.
Well, because, you know, this is kind of even a hot topic in my house, and it always has been with the family, because they'll go way above and beyond with, like, the dressing, and then half the people don't eat it, or stuffing, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
So is it the breading that you don't like, or is it, like, the onion and celery part that you don't like?
I'm not a breading guy. I just don't, like, you know, breading in general. And we made this completely stereotypical observation before.
Sure.
Like, think about when you go to a restaurant and they put bread on the table. Who dives for it first? Generally the women, it seems like. For whatever reason, it seems like women love bread.
Mm-hmm.
In any form, any fashion, any way. Men might love bread, but not to the same degree that women love bread.
Oh, okay.
You know, the stuffing / dressing, don't you feel like it's a little bit of an acquired taste? Because I feel like just the general overall presentation of it and everything.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I was kind of like, get that away. But then once I tried it, I'm kind of like, oh, now I could eat like buckets of this stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I agree. Look what it looks like, though.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of
gross.
It seems gross. It's like sloppy and blah. But then you know what? It's still really good.
And chunky, and you're not quite sure what you're eating.
Yeah, the consistency is just, I don't know. Yeah.
But. Not going to lie to you. This is way too much analysis of stuff.
Well, ask a question.
It's like 7 minutes analysis. Some breaded stuffing.
Tis the season.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, top three bars. They just released a list of the world's 50 best bars. Chicago is nowhere to be found, which proves they don't know nothing.
Yeah.
Top three places you would like to go. 312-233-1019. Your hangs. We have some agreement on this. Watch this. At number three, we have a tie. Hi, Max. You vote for?
The Hang Up in Old Town.
The Hang Up in Old Town. You're right, Max, because Kristen, what do you say?
The Hang Up.
There it is.
Yep.
We have
you
a lot of
agrees. Together.
The Hang Up in Old Town. That's they play a lot of 80s music of that one, right?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I have wandered in there back in the days when you were allowed to wander. Remember those days?
Totally.
They're like 18 months ago when you could wander.
Yeah.
Just
in
walk
and out
in,
of bars.
Walk
isn't the floor
places.
Sticky in there?
All bars' floors are
no,
sticky. It's not a good bar until it gets sticky.
I think it's extra sticky on those floors.
At number two, best bar, Bob, the best hang.
Best hang is Rock Island Public House, Blue Island, Illinois.
Oh, South I love the islands. I love vacationing in the islands.
Nice.
Rock Island, Blue Island, all the islands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Rock Island Public House in Blue Island. Ask for Bob. And finally, in at number one, Nick, the best bar to hang?
The bar in my basement.
There it is. That is so 2020.
All right.
That is so COVID.
Isn't it?
Yeah, what do you got
COVID.
Down there? You got a beer light?
We don't have a beer light yet, but I've got a whole display of rare bourbons.
Oh, well, I might actually show up at this bar then. Rare bourbons. Now you're starting to speak my language.
Now, do you shoot those or sip them?
Oh, you don't shoot them at all.
Oh, yeah. A rare bourbon? You don't shoot that.
Savor it.
Shame on you. Do you go neat on that, or do you throw a big cube in there, Nick?
I throw a small cube.
Small cube. You got to let the ice cut it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, now we're getting
How long do you sip on that to make it just
so you
just
can't feel
right?
your face?
Okay.
Pretty much.
I fell out of my chair.
Yeah. 312-233-1019. Indian woman sues new husband after finding out he's bald. Apparently, he'd been wearing a wig.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, wait a minute, that isn't your real hair. And then I had thrown out, okay, well, that's kind of like, you know, when a guy wears a baseball hat. And, I do this as well. And then he takes it off and you go, whoa.
Ooh,
like, I have the exact opposite problem. It doesn't hide the fact that a receding hairline for me. When I put a hat on, it looks like I have no hair.
Makes you look bald.
Like, you can't see hair anywhere. It's just a hat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I never noticed that, though.
What is the female equivalent of a guy wearing a hat to hide his hairline, Sarah?
A woman wearing a push-up bra.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is a good one. Yeah.
Yeah,
right
nice
about that.
Padded push-up. The more padding, the more deceiving, I guess. Double it
true.
Up.
Sarah, what percentage of women would you say own and wear a push-up bra?
I think own... Gotta be like close to 80 or 90
wow.
to actually wear.
Yeah.
50%
of women are wearing push-up bras on average, you're thinking.
Probably.
Wow.
It depends what kind of shirt you're wearing, you know?
Wow.
And
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Yes, Melissa?
Well, I was just wondering if you guys feel deceived. Do you feel deceived
well,
from
I mean,
a push-up bra?
Well, I'm,
like,
it is
let down?
It is deceiving, but I wouldn't go to the length of let down because we're just happy to be there at that point.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, that's
but
good to know.
Surprised, we might go, ooh, that isn't really what I expected,
right.
but I'm still pretty happy.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Really?
I'm just curious.
Oh, okay.
Usually, right?
I agree.
Carrie, what is the female equivalent of the guy wearing a hat to hide his hairline?
Spanx.
Spanx. Another good one. You're right. Spanx.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, let's ask you the same question, Carrie. What percentage of women own Spanx and wear them?
I would probably say about at least half, at least for like formal events. Definitely then over half.
Okay. All right, do you think the Indian guy who got caught with the wig and his wife is suing him for divorce, if he found out she was wearing Spanx, could he countersue?
Probably.
Yeah. But I'm just trying
sure.
to be his lawyer right now.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Look at you looking at it from both ways.
Do we have any grounds we can counter, Sue? All right, let's find out the top three things that, well, everybody's talking about. What's trending on Twitter right now? Violetta at number three.
We have Nelly trending after not being eliminated.
Is it hot in here?
Very nice.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
Wow.
I don't know that I would go to amazing.
No, it really was.
It's getting hot.
Thanks.
Okay, so he wasn't eliminated last night from Dancing with the Stars. The selling sign... Oh, hot in. So hot in her. This is like my favorite song.
Oldie but goodie.
That's right.
Hey. Right back to you.
I don't know how many of the next words that you're allowed to say. The Selling Sunset star, Chrishell, was unfortunately sent home.
Okay. What show is that again?
Selling Sunset.
Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, yeah, it's Dancing with the Stars.
That's the show.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Good thing I didn't know that. Trending on Twitter number two.
So, Eli Lilly COVID antibody drug gets...
Eli is Eli's cousin.
Right, Eli is probably a descendant for a lot of money.
Right. I was thinking of the pancake place, Ellie.
No, it's Eli Lilly.
Okay.
That's adorable.
Like Ellie's cheesecake is pretty
fantastic.
Good, too.
That's very good.
Okay, so you guys probably have already heard that they got FDA emergency clearance. But the thing that is trending on Twitter is Oblak Betty, because the experimental treatment is called Bam-Lan-Ivam. And everybody's saying that it reminds them of Oh Black Betty, Bam-a-Lam.
Yeah,
all
Black
right.
Betty, so okay. Bam-a-Lam.
All right, that's making sense.
Betty. Yeah.
Yeah. Bam-a-Lam. Mm-hmm. All right. And trending on Twitter, number one.
Also an oldie, but a goodie.
Yes, yeah. Oldie, but a goodie.
That one's a real oldie. Yeah.
That's right.
It's a new day, so there's some new You Can Only Keep Three trends. Today, film fans are choosing which three baseball movies they would save so far.
You gotta go Bull Durham.
Yeah. That is number one.
You gotta go Field of Dreams.
That is number two.
What about that old Tom Hanks one with the girls?
League of Their Own.
No, I don't think that made it.
That good one. Make it?
Third baseball movie. What am I
How about forgetting? Trouble with the Curve with Justin Timberlake and Clint Eastwood?
I don't see that one happening. What's the one?
Fever Pitch, Jimmy
what's
Fallon.
The one with Robert Redford, The Natural.
Oh, The Natural. There you go.
The Natural.
So, actually, there isn't a third trend at the moment.
Oh, okay.
It's just those two.
Oh.
But Sandlot's on the list. Moneyball.
The
Rookie. Little Big League. Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
The Babe.
Now I feel like going and watching a baseball movie.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you. Talking about your parents. Like, you know, moving my dad to Florida.
Sure.
You know, for part of the year. He's doing that.
He is?
Hold on, Melanie. I think he might be moving into Melanie's house. Hold on, Melanie. We'll get to you in a second.
Okay.
They say in a new survey, many people are planning to move now that they can work remotely. Mm-hmm. Are you one of those people, Kim? Hi, Kim.
Yes. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Yeah. I decided to retire, and my husband is now working in Arizona. Remotely, and I'll join him as soon as my house gets sold here.
Wow.
So now, wait a minute, because there's a difference between just we retired and we're moving to Arizona versus the world that we live in now has caused us to decide, all right, well, we can do our work from anywhere. Which one is that?
Well, I'm retired. My husband is not.
Gotcha. He's working remotely.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. So he's like, he left before you even had a chance to see him. Like, he jumped on a plane and said, I am out of here.
Right.
Well, yeah, he found a place, so I have to stay here and wait till ours is.
There you go.
Sure, but he can go anywhere and work.
Yeah, he can work anywhere. He'll work out of the dining room in Arizona just as easily, right?
Yep.
That's true.
There we go. That's what we're looking for.
Makes sense.
And then we said, okay, well, there have to be moments where we can flip-flop it, right?
Yeah.
Fine. Oh, yeah. Well, why not move here then? Yeah. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. They say that people are planning to move now that they can work remotely. You're one of those people?
I am definitely one of those people, but I'm trying to move back to your area.
There we go.
Oh, that's what we want to hear.
Yeah, come home to Chicago.
That should be our new catchphrase. That all in Illinois, that's lame.
Right, forget that.
That
old news.
Lame. And we should be doing come back to Chicago.
Exactly.
Come home, you're right.
Come home.
Where do you live now, Melanie?
St. Petersburg, Florida.
I see. All right. Whoa, and you've decided this is awful.
Yeah,
I got to get out of here.
Yeah, why?
I moved here with my dad about a year ago from Kenosha, and we thought it would be a great change of pace for us and change of scenery, and it's not. And
yeah.
We were excited to move back.
Is it boring or what?
The culture's a little different. Obviously, it's been a challenging year with coronavirus.
Right.
I listen to the radio station every day
at
work,
awful.
And I laugh hysterically when Freaks from Florida is on because they all look at me funny. I'm like, oh, sorry, it's just something from home.
Oh, yeah.
She'll listen and we'll play.
Yeah, girl. Love
Freaks
it.
From Florida. Duh.
Oh.
And they're like, what is that?
Yeah, you're not one of us.
It's you. That's great. All right, so when are you coming back?
as soon as I find a job. So please do a little bit with me on the radio, and as soon as we get a job, we can be packed and ready to go.
What do you do for a living, Melanie?
I was in pharmaceutical sales for many years and then took time off to care for my mom and be her living caregiver.
There you go.
And she passed away, so I currently am working for a healthcare company in Florida.
All right, well, yeah, somebody's got to find one up here somewhere. I mean,
we got a lot of pharmaceutical companies up here. We're good.
It's true, Melissa. We have to push the new phrase, come home. Secret Eric in the Morning off-air poll has just been conducted. This is kind of sort of in your wheelhouse as well, Whip.
Okay.
When are you supposed to, when is a good time to have the talk?
When's that show on, you mean?
What's the phrase on that one?
Yeah, it's always a good time for the talk.
Thank you, Whip. Thank you. Is that show still on, by the way?
I think so.
All right. I know you love your daytime TV.
Yeah, yeah. It's like 2 o'clock-ish.
Violetta made us all incredibly uncomfortable by oversharing a few moments ago. Uh-huh. You'll never hear a phone alarm the same way ever again. Although I know many women do this and are all nodding in agreement that there's a certain alarm that's set off at a certain time for a certain medication.
Yep.
Yeah. Which we learned. So that's why this fits together nicely. The Secret Eric in the Morning off-air poll. Hey, Rick.
Yes, hi.
How old were you when your parents had the sex talk with you?
14.
14. Do you remember, take three, remember it vividly?
Not really.
No.
I'm an old guy, so it was a long time ago.
Who did it, dad or mom?
My dad. We were in the car, and he basically said, use protection.
Right. Big help.
That was about to talk.
Yeah. That's the extent of it. That's valuable information to get. Amy.
Yeah.
How old were you when you got the talk?
13.
13. Mm. Mom or dad?
Mom.
I wonder if dads ever give the talk to girls.
I don't think so.
Well, I think they can. They just have to approach it in a total. Yeah, but they have to approach it in a completely different way from like the whole, this is what guys are up to.
Well, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
Know?
That's why we don't. Everything you're saying is the reasons why we don't.
No, well,
as general, because we don't really have the business to.
Right, you can't approach it by talking about the girl parts.
Right,
you have to approach it from the guy parts.
You do it if you have to, but you really hope there's an alternative person, you know, mother or somebody else that can
totally.
Do it.
YouTube,
find an aunt,
YouTube clip,
an
YouTube
aunt.
Clip,
yep. YouTube
yeah.
clip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that's probably actually very effective.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Yeah, I bring this up because a new study says parents are waiting way too long to have the talk with their kids. We just spoke to 10 people off the air. Didn't tell him the question ahead of time. Said, how old were you when you got the talk? What do you think the average age was?
Average? 12?
12. Whip?
13.
13. Violetta?
15.
13 it is. 13 years old. Melissa, how old were you when you got the talk? Just an age. All I'm looking for.
My mom never gave me the talk.
No talk.
She never said a word to me about anything.
Look how everything turned out great.
Yeah exactly.
Yeah. That's right. How dare she?
Did
Whip.
You see what happened?
I remember the entirety of the talk was that my mom asked me if I had any questions. I said no, and that was that.
All right, so your mom actually had the talk with you.
She approached it, and I shut it down, and that was that. I think I was 12.
Do you feel maybe
11?
You
I don't
shut
know.
It down.
Do you feel that maybe your mom and dad had a conversation between themselves and, you know, rock, paper, scissors to see who had to do it?
Could be. I don't really know how they came to that decision, and I never cared.
Violetta, how old were you?
My parents never really had the talk with me, but I did have a friend when we were like, 11 or 12. Like, her mom, when she drove us to gymnastics, would always like tell us about like all these diseases to avoid and like
scare tactics.
Yeah, she just would tell us all the, you know, I won't say it because, you know, I'm worried that you don't want to hear those words.
Yeah,
but like a lot of them, just like she'd say them
we
over and over.
Know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
yeah, like you don't need a big long explanation.
Right.
We got it.
Okay, that's
your mom,
it.
Your friend's mom in the car told you to avoid the gonorrhea. We got it.
You said it.
I, like you, Melissa, never got the talk.
No.
And of our 10 callers that we took, the first three said that.
Seriously?
They never got the talk at all.
Wow.
Ever.
I'm kind of surprised. I thought.
I'm not.
Really?
I'm not.
I thought most people.
I think most people avoid the talk like the plague. Not that that's a good thing, but it's just the reality of how things are. I mean,
sure.
Look, Whip's mom really didn't want to have the talk, and thankfully Whip bailed her out and shut her down before she had a chance to really get into the good stuff.
I mean, what are you going to even talk about?
Yeah, she didn't push it either. I don't remember her being like, okay, are you sure? Okay, really? No, she was just like, okay.
Like, even as a parent, I don't even have other parents say to me, you know, have you had the talk? Are we supposed to have the talk? How do you have the talk? We don't even talk about it as parents.
No.
Right. Like, I'm uncomfortable seriously talking with other parents about it.
Right.
Yeah,
like, totally. That's your business. You do it the way you want
right
to do it.
I don't even know what age to do that.
They do something in school anyway. Let them handle
you
it.
You haven't done it with your son yet?
He's 9.
It's time.
No.
It is time.
No. He doesn't quite for get sure that's things what
this,
right now.
That's what this study says, that parents think in their minds you wait till 12, 13, 14. This study says you need to be having that talk significantly earlier.
I know. It's different for guys than girls. Yeah. He's like, boys are so immature. Well, I think I have to wait till he's like 11. No.
I'm going to tell you right now, there's not going to be a huge difference between 9 and 11
well,
on his maturity level.
It's
not
do
like he's all of a sudden going to be watching like news programs on Sunday morning at 11.
No, but there's a big difference. Like every year, like at that young age, there's this big jump in maturity every year and understanding of like life and the world. And so I don't feel like he's ready. Like
I don't think he'll want to talk about it with you, no offense, ever.
Just your approach to it. I don't probably want you to not have the talk with him.
Yeah, yeah, no, I feel like you're going to have diagrams, examples, and fruits.
Man, oh, man. 312-233-1019. A survey has found that both men and women believe the top dating deal breaker is when the other person has bad what, Danielle?
Is it manners?
Manners. That's a very popular answer. Oh. Unfortunately, it is not the correct one, although I might agree with you. Bad manners are really going to hurt their cause.
Definitely.
Mm. Really bad what, Linda?
Breath.
Breath. Also a good answer. Oh. Also should have been there. Also probably a deal.
Oh, wow. That was the guess. I think
it would be a lot of thought it was that.
That's not it?
She always gets such a swagger about her thinking she knows these, and she doesn't.
Oh, my God. That's so right, though.
No, it's not. Both men and women believe the top dating deal breaker is bad what, Nora?
Teeth.
Exactly right.
Oh.
Bad teeth. Bad teeth.
So I get that.
Get to your dentist before the end of the year. If they're still on your insurance, be allowed to check in her teeth. Bad teeth. Nicely done, Nora. How's your morning?
Pretty good. Pretty good so far.
Yeah, let's make it slightly better. According to the dating site First Date, bad teeth is a top dating deal breaker for both men and women. Men and women both agree, though, that what is the perfect thing to do on a first date? What do you think it is? Both men and women agree on this as well. This
kiss
is the
they
perfect
both
first
agree
date. No, to do other than just get right to the kiss. Oh. Prior to the kissing.
So not with each other.
Right, it's a part of the date. Like your first date.
Dinner.
Dinner at a local restaurant.
Oh. Yeah.
Was that question that confusing?
No.
I actually thought you were going to say, like, smile. Like, what should you do on a date to, like, make yourself appealing?
Both men and women agree that this is perfect for the first date.
Okay.
That would be a quiet dinner at a local restaurant. Remember when you were able to do that?
Barely.
35% of men want women to dress in comfortable clothing on a first date.
They do?
I don't know what that means.
Wait, men want women to?
Yes, men want women to dress in comfortable clothing, probably for easier removal. At least they hope so.
Oh. Well,
31% of women say men should never take them to a bar on a first date.
Really?
Which is the only place Violetta wants to go.
Yeah, pick me up there. We'll go back there.
Right. We'll pick you up at the bar. Boy, that's saying something. A lot is going on in the last 24 hours alone. The vaccine news that broke, the market went crazy hearing it, the Pfizer vaccine. Governor Pritzker came out with more mitigations. And, of course, you keep hearing about hospitalizations rising, and the infection rate, I think, was above 12% yesterday here in the state of Illinois.
That's right.
So all that being said in the last 24 hours, it seemed like a perfect opportunity to welcome back our good friend, Dr. Kevin Most, the Chief Medical Officer with Northwestern Medicine at Central DuPage Hospital. Hey, Dr. Most.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
I don't know. How are we doing? Or how are we doing? We doing okay?
Yeah, I think we are. You know, personally, very optimistic for the long term, very cautiously concerned about the near term. So, but obviously the news yesterday was great news and very promising.
Let's talk about that news. So Pfizer came out and said, we have this vaccine. It's got a 90% efficacy rate, which none of us knows what that means, but that sounds good. What exactly are we talking here? Do we have a solution for COVID-19?
Yeah, so let's talk first about the effective rate. If you look at the influenza vaccine right now, we're very happy when we get an influenza vaccine rate of about 60%. Still gives us some kind of herd immunity there. But let's take vaccines like measles or polio. Those are 93, 95, 97%. Oh. For us to get the first vaccine out of a potential, we'll say, six in the next few months, that's hit 90% is outstanding. This is the one that is, you know, you guys want to go back to Lollapalooza and you want to go back to sporting events. This is the one, when you hear that, is very promising. And the biggest thing that's probably more promising is the same platform that they made the Pfizer vaccine, they made the Moderna vaccine, and that'll be the next one out. So now potentially you could have two vaccines that are going to be over 90% effective.
All right, wow. Let's talk about now with that great news, getting it out to the public at large, because the news yesterday also said that obviously first responders and those in dire circumstances would receive the vaccine first once it's approved and we move on. When do you anticipate, as a professional in your field, the general public could expect to be able to walk into their doctor, get the vaccine, and potentially resume some level of normal life?
Yeah, when we start doing the math, we're looking probably at May, June. So if you just run through the math really quickly, you have 250 million adults in the United States. We need about 70% for herd immunity, so we need about 175 doses. Moderna, Pfizer, AstraZeneca have already told us that if they all come out okay, which it looks like they're all going to, we could potentially have 250 million doses by summer of next year. So that's the real promising part. Yeah. Now it's everyone has to be, okay, let's go get it. The other one that's really interesting, I think, is Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson is lagging about 3 or 4 weeks behind, but this is one of those, it's almost like the election. They may pass everybody because Johnson & Johnson is a single-dose vaccine, where these other ones are a double dose. You take a dose, and then you get a booster in 21 days. Yeah. So potentially we could have four blockbuster vaccines here by January or February.
All right, so that's the future. Let's talk more about the immediate concerns. I know the infection rate is above 12%, and hospitalizations, they say, are very, very high. You're someone who's in this every single day walking in the hospital. What is true? What is false? Where are we?
Yeah, let's put it in as big a perspective as I can for you. October 5th, we were down to 9 COVID patients in the hospital with not one of them in the critical care unit. So 9 and none in the critical care. Here we are today, November 11th. We have 94 patients in the hospital with COVID, 14 of them in the critical care unit, 21 admissions yesterday. So 21 admissions in one day, and yet at one time we had 9 more long-term COVID patients just a little bit over a month ago.
Well, are some of those patients, or are you even allowed to, I mean, I'm not sure how much you can say, but are you allowed to say, like, are some of these people, like, a little more susceptible, or is it just, like, run the gamut from one thing to another, like you didn't expect people to have it who were in the hospital?
Yeah, Melissa, it's an interesting question because as we looked at it in the spring, if you all remember, it was, oh, this nursing home got hit, this nursing home got hit. What we're seeing now is these are more community. They're coming from their homes. They certainly do have some comorbidities to get to the point where in the hospital. But we're discharging them a lot quicker because everything has changed, right? We know we now have remdesivir. We now have dexamethasone. We now have some history of how to treat these patients. We know to put them on blood thinners to prevent blood clots, things that were keeping them in the hospital longer. So very encouraging from that point of view as well as the vaccine point of view.
All right, I'm glad you brought that up there because that's on the treatment level. And then you keep seeing stories about the possible prevention measures that we can take as individuals. You know, you hear about load up on vitamin D, take a lot of zinc, all of these different things. Is there any value to any of that?
Yeah, you know, so right now everyone is saying, hey, let's do everything you can to maximize your immune system, things that we probably should be doing every day. You know, vitamin D, especially this time of the year, take a vitamin D supplement. You're not getting it from the sunlight. Zinc has shown some to be an antiviral, which is really good. A lot of people right now are saying, talk to your doctor about the potential of taking a baby aspirin just to decrease any possibility of clots. All of that and eating healthy is certainly things that we should be doing. And it's going to allow those asymptomatic or those people with very minor symptoms to even have less symptoms. So we get concerned about those that hit the tipping point and need to be hospitalized, but everybody should be doing what they can to make their immune system better.
Sure.
The governor came out yesterday with a new mitigation level. Obviously, this is a big source of contention all over the states, with people falling on both sides as to what is the right way to go about doing it. Do you think there's value in what we're doing? Do you see any value in things reopening and a national mask mandate? Do you see any value in moving forward, or do you believe that the right thing to do is pull back, or are people going to house parties more instead of going out? What's your take on it?
Yeah, that's my biggest take. What you just said that last minute was probably my biggest take is, you know, at this point, now what's going to happen is you're going to have a lot more people saying, okay, we can't go out. Well, then come over to our house. And we know that when people are in their own home, they're going to have less masking on. They probably will spend more time with people. You go out to dinner with somebody, you might be with them for an hour, hour and a half. You go to their home, you might be with them for 3 hours. Yeah. So that's the concerning part. And with Thanksgiving coming up, we certainly have that concern as well. You get a group of 10 people together, you get a group of 20 people together, there's a chance that 2 to 4 of them are going to be asymptomatic positive and could potentially spread it. Sure. So we're much more cautious, actually, when we're out than we are in our own home. So some of these mitigation may actually backfire.
And I keep seeing these tents all over with restaurants, and they look worse than being inside. Because it's absolutely, the sides are down, there's no flow at all. It seems like almost a worse attempt at a solution than a better one.
Absolutely. I wish we would have taken the time to go to restaurants and say, get your HVAC teams out here. Let's work on air circulation and airflow, and let's do some math and science about this. Instead of just saying, let's eat outside, put all the vents or all the sides down and have no circulation. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I'm just a doc, so I don't know.
Hey, doctor, on the vaccine thing, once it's widely available, let's say June of next year, like you said, do you have any numbers? We hear a lot about people who don't want to take vaccines or who just don't want to take any vaccines. Do you have numbers on how many people there are that are dead set against it? Or more specifically, do you have any clue how many people would be hesitant to take this one quickly?
Yeah, I think, Whip, I'm hoping that things have changed. So there was a Gallup poll mainly done during the election time where there was this big push to get the vaccine out before the election. And people were very hesitant then to say, wait a second, this is a political thing. They're just going to try to push it through. I hope now that everyone's taken a step back and said, you know what, now we're letting science decide this. So you looked at that. There were many companies that could have said something prior to the election and didn't. They waited their time. They got their data. Their data has been independently peer-reviewed. So now we know that an independent body has looked at the information from Pfizer. This is just not Pfizer coming out. Mm-hmm. So that should be very reassuring. And I tell all my doctors right now, you guys, look at the science because we have to be the cheerleaders here. If we're not the ones to first step up and take this, patients are going to say, well, if you didn't get it, why should I get it? So very important right now to see the data.
Final question for you, Dr. Most. Before we let you go, I know that you have a big meeting coming up at 9 o'clock about all this. But with all this being said, with everything that's come out, with the Pfizer news yesterday, with you saying that the potential exists that next May or June, the public at large could have this, does this mean there is a chance for the Summer of Rock?
Yes.
All right, go.
Yes. That's all we need to hear.
Because we want to be able to go to the Summer of Rock at Lollapalooza and maybe see a baseball game. Are you saying there's a chance?
And you think about this. We've been having these conversations since February, and I've been saying no, no, no. I am now saying yes, there is a chance.
That just happened.
Science has spoken.
You know what I call that? I call that life. Life is back.
So good to hear you say that.
And let me put it in perspective, Eric. There is no chance that Kansas is going to be Texas this weekend.
That is absolutely true. Zero chance. Put your money on the Longhorns. All right. Thanks, Doc. Good luck with the meeting today.
You got it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
See you. Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Butt. There you go. He's a KU guy. Even regardless of the fact he's a KU guy, he seems decent.
Yeah, in some ways.
Right. Seems like he knows a lot, too.
He seems decent. I mean, for a guy who went to Kansas. Yeah,
me
Kansas
too.
Plays the Texas Longhorns this weekend. You know, I'm a Longhorn now. So.
Yes, you are.
Kansas, not a football school.
Nah, they're a basketball. Really, Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
They seem like a doctor school.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a doctor school, too.
Maybe.
Texas is more of a vodka school.
Okay.
on the mix.
Yeah.
Tidbit Tuesday. Oh, hey, Louis Capaldi. Louis Capaldi breaks UK chart record set by Ed Sheeran. He is now bigger in the UK than Ed.
Oh, wow. What? You're kidding me.
That's big.
Wow.
Louis's album now has the most consecutive weeks in the UK top 10 by a solo artist. He has now surpassed Ed Sheeran for that title.
I'm going to go Ed takes that as a challenge. Oh, he will not rest until he reclaims the throne.
Let's talk about all sorts of success. Ariana Grande breaks Miley Cyrus's record for fastest woman to accumulate 3 number one albums.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I didn't know Miley was ahead of everybody else. Miley's ahead of like Beyonce and a host of others.
I think for Madonna. Fastest.
Wow, fastest. Yep, that's okay. It. David Guetta was named the world's top DJ. Whip came in at 6th.
Yeah.
Oh, not bad, Whip.
Top 5 by next year. Top 5 by 21.
Right there behind Diplo and Zedd.
Yeah, well, those guys are hard to beat.
Yeah, that's true. Celebrity Wheel of Fortune is coming to ABC with Pat Sajak and Vanna White set to host. You know, we keep talking about all these game shows.
Yeah.
Jeopardy's been in the news, obviously, with the sad passing of Alex Trebek. Now, yeah. Wheel of Fortune, they're going to do a celebrity version. About movies right now, A Quiet Place franchise is getting a spinoff film.
Hmm. Is it going to be with John Krasinski?
John Krasinski has a new idea for another A Quiet Place, and it looks like it's happening. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the 41-year-old actor, who also directed and co-wrote the original and its sequel, will be producing a third film in the franchise along Michael Bay, Andrew Forman, Brad Fuller. So some big names.
Ooh.
So John Krasinski on a roll.
He's a big deal right now.
On a roll. Liam Neeson is going to start a new action movie called Retribution, which is basically Speed with Liam Neeson.
Oh, okay. It seems like every Liam Neeson movie is Taken.
Yeah.
You know, or some version of
pretty
it.
Pretty much that over and over and over.
Yeah.
He even joked about that on Ted. Do I have that clip?
On Ted.
There you go. What's the one he's got out? Honest Thief is the one he's got out right now.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
Sam's Club is selling cheese advent calendars so you can feast all December long.
Yes!
You'll have yourself some cheese. Go to Sam's Club for that. Red Lobster is releasing a limited edition holiday gift box filled with the Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Oh, those are so good.
Enjoy those. See this story yesterday in the picture of the kid, the third grader who won America's Best Mullet?
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, he looks solid.
See that.
He is solid Joe Dirt.
Yes. Is he really?
He is solid Joe Dirt.
So is it really long in the back?
He looks just like Joe Dirt. He's a third grader who looks like Joe Dirt.
Oh,
and there was an actual competition.
Yeah, yeah. And the third grader walked away with the title.
Good job.
Yeah. In related news, there is a liquor shortage due to coronavirus now.
Oh. There is not.
Yep.
I could see that.
CBS says liquor stores are having trouble keeping premium brands on shelves because of the coronavirus panic buying. Crown Royal is hard to stock. Also, premium tequilas from Mexico. I mentioned Ben Bradley coming over, and all he wanted was tequila, and I didn't have any tequila.
Oh, he's a tequila guy?
Yeah, he was beside himself.
Didn't he drink all yours?
Then he drank all the bourbon.
Yeah.
Yep. Save that story. A new survey says men should be allowed to donate sperm after death. Whip.
Yes, we should.
Yes.
Which side of this am I on? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Okay. I don't have a side on this. I'm just a guy sharing it.
How does that even work?
I just thought it was an interesting headline.
Definitely is.
Sperm donations from dead men is ethically permissible, say doctors seeking to tackle the shortage of live donors in the UK.
There's a shortage?
Yeah, so they can harvest it after you're dead.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah.
Oh, then you're not on the hook for anything, really.
Well, you know, at that point, you're just like, whatever.
Okay.
Yep.
Do what you need to do.
Here's something that's good for you. Chili peppers are good for your health. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, I did, actually.
A new step of good. You must work at the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Side hustle at the Cleveland
Clinic. Yeah. A new study by the Cleveland Clinic reveals that people who eat chili peppers may be less likely to die of heart disease and cancer.
Wow, good. Eat it up.
I still can't do it.
How about listening to the chili peppers to get you
out of it? That does not qualify as anything.
All right.
Did you know a new study also says nearly half of happiness is genetic?
Well,
wow,
yeah.
Really?
Don't you think people are genetically disposed to like...
Or predisposed.
I don't know. My family seems depressed. I'm on
be happy.
Good. Yeah. I can't hear you're both... What happens?
I want to hear more.
You're both having your own conversations.
What do your Cleveland Clinic colleagues say?
Yeah.
That makes sense. We concur.
That's happiness. Let's go from happiness to rudeness. The rudest states in the country has just been released, according to a new study. What do you think is the rudest state in the U.S.?
New York.
That is exactly correct.
Oh, okay. So no wild cards there. That was something you could have guessed.
Right. If you were to guess who comes in second, though. Second,
Philly?
Third, or fourth. That's not a state. That's
a
city.
I'm sorry. Where's Faye?
Like, my chair keeps falling down.
why don't you take a little time out? Go back out, get some coffee.
Oh, my God. It really did just fall.
Yeah. Any other guesses?
New Jersey.
New Jersey, no. Virginia
what?
In at number two.
Virginia's for lovers, they claim.
No, it's not. Followed by Washington and Iowa in the top four.
Really?
For rude states. You know, we were talking about people proposing a second ago. Motocross rider fakes crash in order to propose. Then everybody goes silent. I can't stop them from talking, and then they go completely silent and stare at me.
I couldn't hear anything. Like, I didn't understand what you said.
Motocross rider fakes crash in order to propose.
Okay.
It happened in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. A rider recently faked the crash in order to propose to his girlfriend. Jeremy Durst purposely lost control of his bike and slid into a barrier. His girlfriend, Sarah, ran over panicked on the track as he got down on one knee and proposed.
No.
That's just weird.
Yeah, that's not fun. That didn't make any sense.
Pretty good trick. Completely weird, and you should say no, lady. And finally, on Tidbit Tuesday, Friendsgiving Island is available for a week-long rental over Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Hotels.com. Said Friendsgiving Island would normally cost $1,400 per night, but it's being offered for $50 per night per person for a group of six from November 14th through the 21st. A getaway for the week of the holiday on Friendsgiving Island, a private island off the Florida coast. The island features a three-bedroom house and a boat that will be available for use during the seven-night stay on the island.
Wow, that's nice.
Yep. Friendsgiving. Thanksgiving. You can believe it? It's 16 days away.
Thanks for listening to the Eric in the Morning podcast. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss a moment of Eric in the Morning on 101.9 The Mix Chicago.